We continue the worship of our Lord as we turn in our Bibles. We are in the book of Romans, and we will continue there next week with Pentecost as we think continuously about the Holy Spirit. I do want to give a shout out to encourage you, if you are already doing this, but those of you that perhaps that have not yet, in your worship guide, there are questions that go along with the passage for each Sunday, and also scriptures that will take you to the next Sunday. And so I encourage you to do this as part of your daily practice of growing in your faith and closer to Christ. You can take this home with you, and encourage you to add this or continue to do it. It's a wonderful way to make sure that you're reading the Bible each day and growing in your awareness of God's love for us. So let's hear from the book of Romans again, as I mentioned, and this is in chapter 6. In my pew Bible, I'm a little confused, but I'm pretty sure it's page 917 in your pew Bible as well, but encourage you to read along with me on page 917, not 894, and again, we'll be reading verses 1 through 14, and this is on page 917. Listen for God's word for us. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, again, we come to you on this beautiful day, realizing that we come with many thoughts on our hearts and our minds. We think about this past week, the things that have gone really well, the joys in our life. And we also think about the disappointments. We think about the tragedies. We think about loved ones, or perhaps strangers, who are trying to figure out how to live this life. Our hearts are full of lament for once again a tragedy with the shootings in Virginia Beach. Lord, help us. Help us to be those vessels of peace, of kindness, of love, especially towards those on the margins who are struggling to know how to cope and how to live. Help us, God, to listen for your peace in our life and to realize that your word is there for us to inspire us, to guide us, to teach us. Help us, God, to be strong as your disciples. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Well, this morning I want us to think about those experiences in our life that are just brand new, something that perhaps you've never done before. On Thursday, here at Westminster, we hosted our pen pal friends from Kingsley Elementary right down the hill. And as I stood at the door and greeted the fourth graders, there was this great sense of excitement. They were going to meet their pen pal. Like, we felt like rock stars. I mean, they were so excited to meet us and that we could sit together and share and answer questions. And later that day, I was thinking about my friend Caleb and the way that he shook my hand and just so delighted to make that connection. And to my right was a little guy named Sam. And Sam was so excited to tell me about how much he loves the Hawkeyes. You know, we always default to sports, right? And so we were discussing the Hawkeyes and what a great team they have. I don't know a lot about the Hawkeyes, but I was trying to share what I knew. And so I asked Sam, I said, Sam, are you thinking about going to college, maybe to Iowa, to the University of Iowa? He said, no, I think I'm going to go to UNI because they have the best food. So if you know the chefs at UNI, you can pass that along. But such a sense of anticipation for the best food or for meeting their pen pal. I thought, you know, how do we bottle that kind of excitement, that kind of newness of life? And then, of course, I'm trying to figure out what my friend Paul is saying to us in this passage from Romans. And the light bulb went off. Trisha, this is exactly what Paul is telling us. Don't get so bogged down in the sin of life. Don't try to figure out how you can outsmart this great God that we have by getting away with it, right? Let's continue to sin. What is that? Paul says, by no means. We don't continue in this behavior. Instead, we think about what does it mean to die with Christ and to live again with Christ. All of us, we go through different seasons in our life. Think about that anticipation, maybe of retirement. My sister and brother-in-law both just retired from 40 years in teaching and in human resources, and there is such great anticipation, this newness of life. So the question for us becomes, what season of life are we in? Are we in this season of life in which we, like Paul, think about this newness that comes with the power of baptism? Today we're celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and next Sunday we'll celebrate the sacrament of a baptism. Do we realize the privilege and the power that we get to experience when we live these sacraments together? It's more than just a piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. It's about life that's new and abundant for us. So we have to think about our daily life. How do we approach it with this sense of anticipation and not just the same old again? Can we look at the power of baptism, of that water and that renewal that comes with that commitment? Think about the act of baptism of Jesus literally going into that water and coming back out, dying to the sin, rising to new life. Now, you may not remember your baptism. Those who were baptized as adults might remember that sense of newness. And maybe you don't remember the day in which you were baptized. But you can be thankful that a loved one, a parent, a grandparent, someone brought you to the font to experience this new life and this power that comes. Martin Luther, for you great Lutherans out there, approached this passage of Scripture with great passion. Listen to the words in which he wrote his description of what it means to be baptized. He writes, "Drown me and throttle me, dear Lord, for henceforth I will gladly die to sin with thy Son." He demonstrates that baptism is an act that shows us the good news of Christ. Luther would cry out in moments of crisis, "I am baptized, I am baptized." Anybody here, in a moment of crisis, do you yell out, "I am baptized"? I'm guessing maybe not. But maybe it's time to start. When those times of desperation or crisis or disappointment come to us, to think back, to say, "I am baptized," and there is incredible power in that truth. But the question becomes for us, do we really believe it? This kind of passion that exists for us. Often our past, right, it weighs us down. Things in our past that maybe we're not proud of or we're confused by. Why? Why did I make that decision back then? And it can weigh us down. I wasn't the kind of parent I should have been, or I wasn't the best spouse. In my career, I struggled. And rather than sinking down in that pit of disappointment, to shout out, "I am baptized," in this daily grind of life. To live in the present, because it also can work in that we get so wired up about the future. What's going to happen next? If I ever do retire, where am I going to live? What's going to happen with my family? Those in my family that I'm really concerned about. Again, do we go back to the power of the risen Christ? I mentioned last week when we were talking about joy that we get to experience together as a congregation. And I mentioned the adult baptism of Judy Beyer. Later that day, after Judy was baptized, she presented Pastor Dan and I with a card. And I asked her permission if I could read to you today what she wrote in the card, and she gave me her blessing. She wrote, "Today, you have made the birds sing clearer, the sun shine brighter, and have filled my heart with love for Christ. Thank you for baptizing me and accepting me as a member of Westminster. I have waited so many years to be baptized. I will hold today special in my heart as long as it beats." Beautiful words. All of us baptized into new life. So think about, do the birds sing clearer for you? Especially in those places in your life where you are hurting, maybe physically, aches and pains, or emotionally struggling. The power of baptism as it comes to us. Peter Marty, when he wrote his commentary about this passage, he writes about the with factor. And in this scripture, I encourage you to look 6 times in this passage. We see the word with. That we are with Christ. Again, the power of that knowledge that we're never alone in this life. That God is there saying, you know what? Maybe there's been some sin. Maybe you have spoken some words that have really hurt. But I'm here with you to try again. Let's try again. Together and never alone. Martha Moore Keesh gives us this great image. She says, life with Christ and the newness of Christ is like being a twig that's grafted into a tree. We are that twig that's grafted into the tree of goodness of Christ with us. So later today, you can tell your loved ones, you know, I'm a twig. They might look at you kind of funny. But it gives us an opportunity to share. To share how our life is so abundant and different. Because we abide with Christ. We have gone down in death and been raised to new life. At the end of the worship conference that I attended a few weeks ago, the leader took the bowl, the baptism bowl. It was filled with water. And she took her hands as we were gathered around her in a circle. And she took her hands in that bowl of water and she threw the water at us, drenching us with this water. It was different, right? I thought about doing it today. I'm not that courageous. And as she threw the water at us, she said, remember, remember the newness of life. Remember as you go back to God's people and tell them about this newness of life, drenching them in the love and the goodness of our risen Christ. Let's pray together. God, we may not literally have water upon our heads this day, but we know that through the goodness of your Spirit, that you offer us new life. So God, give us the patience, give us the wisdom, the strength to look around us at people that need to know that they're loved despite perhaps some wrong roads, that we could be that vessel of goodness and love, that twig that is grafted to you, our strong and mighty Savior. We praise you, O God, and we thank you for the gifts of these words that remind us that you are with us at every turn of our life. And we pray, oh God, especially for those today whose hearts need to be encouraged and restored. We love you. Amen.